You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us today on this Wednesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live, the live link at kpcg.fm and a link at thetrumpet.com as well. You can also listen on the TuneIn app. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at kpcgfm. We'll send out some tweets and other things that you might be interested in. I guess they're only tweets. You can't send anything else on Twitter. We'll send you a variety of tweeted information. And also, if you'd like to email us any questions or comments or anything, you can send those to comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau with me here today as well. Today is June the 15th. Here are some things that have happened on this day in history. 1381, the English peasant revolt was crushed in London. Things aren't going great. You're a peasant anyway. You try to have a revolt and it gets crushed. Bad time to be a peasant.
Yeah, peasants don't have a great track record of success, as their name would imply, and as the usually they do get crushed when they do try to oppose people with more than pitchforks and lanterns.
you hate to be remembered in history as a group that got crushed. You know, I'd rather be like, they were barely edged out. It was close. It could have gone either way. But when you get crushed, that's just, that's not a great way to be remembered.
That's why I'm not a Maple Leafs fan, Toronto Maple Leafs fan. So.
It always comes back to hockey. It's always a hockey reference in there. 1667, this one is disturbing. Jean-Baptiste Denis administered the first fully documented human blood transfusion. He successfully transfused the blood of a sheep to a 15-year-old boy. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, I don't think things turned out too well for that boy or the sheep, it sounds like.
Interspecies blood transfusions are not recommended, I don't think. But anyway, they were trying it. Boy, interesting. People have tried all kinds of things, and I suppose in a lot of these cases, they learned something that was somewhat valuable, but kind of trial and error with a lot of things.
Yeah, it is. I think the history of medical science before the modern era, where we had technology where we could actually be more scientific about it, is pretty horrifying, actually, to read through how they experiment or they try to learn new things, but they didn't have the technology to do it safely.
Right. 1752 on this day, Benjamin Franklin experimented by flying a kite during a thunderstorm. Not a good idea, by the way. The result was a little spark that showed the relationship between lightning and electricity. So that's, I think, one of the more famous stories about Benjamin Franklin. I think everybody knows the kite one and the key and all of that.
Right.
I'm assuming that's how it happened. That's the story I heard. So,
yeah, exactly. And it actually reminds me of something Bill Cosby did when he was younger. But I think all of us have thought of this at some point, and that's everyone else watching out their windows, Ben Franklin standing on the hill during a thunderstorm with a kite. Must have just been watching, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah,
but the key saved them. But something that defies logic, but that discovered electricity and its relationship with lightning.
I wonder how many people have like almost discovered something wonderful, but been killed in the process.
Right,
that just a bad idea, and it didn't work out, and we just never knew what they almost discovered because of dying.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of those people, scientists who died in the line of duty trying to discover something, but just some things, if you don't do it right, it's fatal.
Yeah, so it's always interesting when you look at the study of some of those things. 1775 on this day, George Washington was appointed head of the Continental Army by the Second Continental Congress, and of course had a great success there, even though it wasn't easy, and he really was outmanned, but had some good fortune. He was blessed in a lot of ways with certain events that occurred, and then, of course, was victorious. 1836 on this day, Arkansas became the 25th U.S. state. So congratulations to Arkansas. I was just there a couple of weeks ago. And they're still a state, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
So in case anyone was curious about that, They're still a state. 1844 on this day, Charles Goodyear was granted a patent for the process that strengthens rubber. Obviously, we all know him from the Goodyear Tire Company. And so we still use those today in some cases.
Yes.
I don't know what the brand of my tires are, but
mine's not Goodyear, but it's Michelin, I think.
Ah, good. I was going to say the Michelin man.
Yeah.
There's that commercial where the Michelin man is standing there and people need tires for some reason. It's like an animated commercial, and he just starts throwing tires that come out of his body somehow.
Right.
Because he's made out of tires.
Yeah, I've seen
and
that
they,
one.
And they just start landing and perfectly in all the cars. I thought, wow. If Michelin could do that, I would be a Michelin all-the-time guy. If they could just throw the tires and they'd land on my car perfectly, that would just speed up the process.
I know. I would go change my tires every week just to see
just
them
to see
do
the miracle of the Michelin man. Yeah, a lot of times they put commercials up, especially car commercials, and they'll have the text on the bottom where they're like, this car cannot actually do this.
Right.
You know, there was like one where the car was like jumping on trains and all this ridiculous stuff. And every time I see that, I always think that has to be up there because either somebody tried it and got hurt or they sued them for false advertising or something. So, but I haven't seen it on the Michelin Man commercial. I want to see like this is not actual, you know, footage.
Right.
It's clearly a drawing, you know, an animation.
Right.
But
yeah,
you never know. You could say false advertising.
Yeah, it is interesting with car commercials. I've seen a couple of parody videos people have made of them because a lot of them nowadays with the advertising, they show things completely unrelated to the car. They show like dragons or horses and all these things. Then the last 5 seconds it shows the car and you're like, what? Like, what happened?
Well, the best ones, the ones they always make fun of are the Matthew McConaughey ones for Lincoln.
Right. Yeah.
Where he's like reciting like really bad poetry or something. Yeah. And you barely see the car and I don't even know what's happening. And he's driving around and
he falls into a swimming pool with a suit on. Then he's drawing the next shot driving the car and that's the commercial.
It's like, yeah.
Like, are they advertising that the car dries your clothes after you fall into a pool when you're dry?
It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Maybe they're trying to be creative, but it's...
But it stays with you. You know, you remember it.
That's true.
And there's that one where he's like, looking at some trees or something and talking about conservation.
Right.
Then he gets in a Lincoln. I don't know what's going on. But I remember it, so... But I think... Sometimes I remember commercials, but I don't know what they're advertising. You know,
right.
You watch a whole thing, and you're like, what was that even for?
Well, I remember a few weeks ago I showed you one. I stumbled upon it. I was looking for some Twitter GIFs for something I wanted to do it on, and I found some. It's for panda cheese in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
And their whole marketing campaign is you have someone in the store, and they're like, oh, or situation like, oh, I didn't get the panda cheese. It's fine. You know, nowhere this panda shows up. And then he destroys something or he deflates a soccer ball. He destroys a birthday cake, whatever, get the point across that they made a mistake. And
yeah.
Very humorous.
you sent that to me. And that's one of the funniest ones I've ever seen. Wouldn't fly here in the U.S. because it's too insensitive, I guess. But
right.
Yeah, the one the kid's having a birthday party and they forgot the panda cheese. And he's trying to blow out the candles or something. And then it pans over to this guy in a panda suit. And he's doing like that slow clap.
Yeah.
And then he picks up the cake and throws it against the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I guess you should have got the cheese. So, and the funny thing to me about it, too, is they show a shot of the kid and he's not crying or anything. He's just terrified.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, when the panda shows up, you just be quiet.
It's all business.
It's all business when the panda shows up. Yeah, those are on YouTube. Panda cheese from Egypt.
Yeah.
If you go to Egypt, you get the panda cheese, I guess.
Yeah, they don't fool around about their cheese.
No. 1909 on this day, Benjamin Scheib patented the cork center baseball, which is interesting. If you ever see the cover come off of a baseball, depending on what type of baseball it is, they have different things on the inside of it. And so those are always interesting. My son was at baseball practice a while ago, and they were doing a batting practice, and they hit the ball out there. And then you grab it and throw it back in. Well, there was an old ball out there that had been run over by the lawnmower, so that like the cover was half off of it. And so we brought it back in, and we said, man, look how hard you hit this thing. And everybody was like, whoa! And we're like, we're kidding. It got run over by the lawnmower. For a fleeting second, the kids thought they hit the cover off the baseball.
Yeah.
Pretty rare, especially in Little League. You don't see that ever, actually. 1982, on this day in the capital city of Stanley, the Falklands War ended as Argentine troops surrendered to the British. That's an ongoing kind of battle there, even to this day, in terms of Argentina wanting the Falklands back. So that's kind of a back-and-forth battle. I think that's still, I don't know, I haven't heard too much about it lately in terms of that situation. Does Britain still retain control of that?
Yes.
They still do. Okay, yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, the most recent things, they had a few referendums over the years of who the people in the Falklands want to rule them, and they're always overwhelmingly British. The most recent development, I think, last month was the UN stating that the waters around the Falklands belong to Argentina, so it just further supports the claim that Argentina wants the islands back. So things are starting to stack up against Britain controlling them, but at the same time, the people of the Falklands do want Britain to control them instead of Argentina.
Okay, that's where it sits today. Here's the big thing we wanted to mention a little bit here briefly. At 1215 on this day, King John of England put his seal on the Magna Carta. And, of course, that's a very influential document and really even influenced the Constitution in a lot of ways.
Yeah, this last year we had the 600th anniversary, 800th anniversary of Magna Carta. And this really is the foundation of our modern societies. It is the idea that the Constitution is based on and the British democracy. So it is a very important moment in history, a big turning point where tyranny, monarchies, and authoritarian states started to recede because of this one nation that began this idea. And King John, he's famous from the Robin Hood stories and his brother Richard the Lionheart. But he was a very corrupt man, and he had many wars in France that didn't go well, battles in the island as well of Britain, and he was heavily taxed the people. And so the Magna Carta basically is just a list of grievances from the baron classes. It doesn't represent the common people. It's the barons and the nobles of grievances against the king, and it's an agreement that he will go to Parliament and obey the law instead of making the laws himself. And so it's this concept of no man is above the law, that the king himself is bound by law, that is the foundation of Magna Carta, why it's so important. It's Latin for Great Charter. And it is something that is really magnified in any place where English is spoken, where democracy is. It sets the foundation that no man is above law. Everyone has to obey it. No body can should be able to violate it without some kind of punishment. And this was intensified by the forefathers, by the founding fathers. They intensified these notions, and out came the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. But it all started at Runnymede, where the King John signed this 801 years ago today. And it's something we shouldn't forget, because especially in modern times, we've seen a lot of violations of this principle on both sides of the Atlantic. And it's a very worrying trend, because a lot of blood has been spilled keeping the principles of this, of the Magna Carta, of the principles of democracy. And it's almost like we're surrendering them without even a fight nowadays.
Yeah, a really interesting history and important rule there. Rule of law. It's been written about a lot. We have a great write-up on that at thetrumpet.com that talks about some of that and how important rule of law really is. No freedom without laws, the name of the booklet that you can get. And we're seeing that trend, like you said, in the United States today, where it's kind of the rule of social justice now, right?
Right.
Instead of the law, and they're saying, well, we want to change the law because we just want to include everybody. Which sounds nice on a very general sort of way, but what about people that don't want to include you? And what about terrorists? What about people that want to do harm? There are laws in place to protect people and to make sure that certain behavior is not allowed because it hurts others. And so it's always an interesting argument. People talk about rights and rights and rights. Well, if everybody can just do whatever they want, inevitably, they are infringing upon the rights of somebody else. So it does get back to rule of law. There has to be a law that everyone follows, that nobody's above it, and everyone's judged equally by it. That there is nothing more fair than that, that I'm aware of.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing more successful either. I mean, the rule of law really encapsulates all the principles that we love, all the freedoms that we enjoy. That is the rule of law. And it just guarantees that we can have peace and prosperity. We can have the path of liberty. And last year I wrote an article on the Magna Carta on thetrumpet.com commemorating the anniversary, but there's this one quote from it by a Texas jurist. And he's talking about this relationship, and just a short quote here. And he says, the name is Hatton Sumners. And he says, "There's a straight road which runs from Runnymede to Philadelphia. We did not borrow provisions from the British Constitution, which had come from the people. Those provisions were ours, paid with the lives of our ancestors on many a battlefield. I have examined the matter. I tell you, our Constitution came up from the body of a self-governing people, but we can lose our capacity to govern by its non-exercise." So he's saying the biggest danger to American democracy is losing sight of those principles and not exercising them. And we've seen this especially with this administration, where essentially President Obama has been repealing Magna Carta by putting the executive position above the law, above the Constitution, above Congress. And when you do that, we're losing our capacity to govern ourselves, because if he can put himself above the law, then what's the value in the Constitution? What's the power behind it? And once we lose that, then we start losing all the freedoms and all the things that have made America great.
Right. It's getting away from a bedrock of law and a founding principle that everybody follows. Can a law be good and then not be good? If it's good, isn't it always good? I know times change, and the argument is, well, the founding fathers didn't understand this, that, and the other, and times have changed, and we need to change all these things. But if a law in principle is good, doesn't it stay good? How can it become bad? People's opinion of it might change, but what it really is people don't want to follow it anymore.
Yeah,
they want to do something different. And so then you have what we have today, which is, executive power is saying, well, we're going to change the law. Well, that's a dictator, because every time another dictator comes in, then they change the law to whatever they want it to be. People have lived under that system, and it's brutal, and it's a terrible system. Yeah. That's why people were so excited to live by one law that governed everybody equally. Leaders, peasants, paupers, everybody. Because that's a fairness that you don't find anywhere else.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's something that I think we take for granted quite a bit. But it is something that is very rare in the history of humanity. And like you said, laws governing human conduct are the same as the laws of nature. They're constants. They do not change. Like the law of gravity is the same today as when Isaac Newton first discovered it. And that's the same as laws governing morality, where human nature, that's the big argument, is about what human nature is and if it's improving or degrading, and or if it degrades over time. But history clearly shows that human nature stays the same, and you have to have the same principles governing that conduct. Because if you change them, or if you let human nature decide what is law, instead of having law govern that, then it leads to chaos and it leads to disorganization, and that leads to the destruction of nations. And if you compare Britain's past since 1215 to any other nation in Europe, Britain had wars, they had plenty of conflict, but they have been far more successful and far more stable than any other nation in the world until the United States came on the scene 500 years later.
Really interesting history, a lot to think about, and it's good to stop and think about it, especially in the times in which we're in. 1215 on this day, King John of England put his seal on the Magna Carta. We're going to put our seal on this program. It's over. Trumpet Radio Live, thanks for joining us today on this Wednesday edition. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Abraham Blondeau, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com.